Greetings in Jesus' name. I was extremely blessed when I observed all the children coming up and filling these benches. May God bless you as parents. You have an awesome responsibility. Something that you can't do by yourself. You need a higher power. You need God's Spirit to enable you and give you wisdom as you teach and guide your children, the little ones that are among you. Well, this is the first time I'm preaching this sermon. It's always trepidation when you have a subject like this. And what happened, I was scheduled a couple weeks ago, and that was when my mother-in-law's funeral was. And then last week, I was sick. And I still have my throat. I feel good, though, so don't fear. My throat just doesn't, or my voice isn't quite back the way it used to be. Maybe it'll never get back the way it used to be. I don't know. But I trust that you can bear with me. We have an interesting subject. It's actually a subject that I enjoy thinking about it. And if we as a family have enjoyed those years having five children, and they're all married, so we had five courtships, and it was good to reflect on those experiences, and as a very blessed time, it can be. You know, courtship is an important aspect of establishing marriage. I know in history you had a lot more. In the Mennonite Anabaptist circles, more what you call casual courtships and casual dating and so on. And I'm thankful tonight that our church culture has moved away from that. My dad talks about stories of what took place back in their day. And I'm thankful where we're at. We've been blessed. We've really been. But whenever you have a blessing, there's a potential of losing that blessing. And we take it for granted. You know, we can have a blessing, something we enjoy, and we kind of casually relax and think everything's going to be all right. And I think the purpose of this subject is to try and encourage us to be actively involved as parents. And I'm going to focus a lot tonight on family life, because I believe that courtship, parental involvement in courtship starts. When I saw the little children here, it actually starts right there. Because if you believe that somehow you're going to get actively involved in your teenagers when they're interested in courtship, when you haven't been involved when they're here, you're in trouble. So I said that courtship is important, you know, establishing a foundation in marriage. You know, you know, I've been married longer than I've been single. 35 years. That's a long time, and some of you have been longer than that. And you know, it's important that you have a foundation that's going to last those years. I'm grieved tonight when I see what has happened in some of my friends, some people that you hear about that I don't even know, that they live to, you know, 50, 60 years old, they shared marriage together, and suddenly there's a division. Now, what all plays into that, I'm not here to debate that. But I believe tonight that a foundation is built in courtship that's really important. You know, if you build an essential courtship foundation, there's heartache that goes with that and suspicion. It just accompanies that, suspicion. You don't build trust in that relationship. So there's suspicion. You have a spiritual principled courtship by the Bible. There's trust and confidence, and there's a team, and there's a union. And so those are some things that we need to remember. So courtship, I believe, is an important aspect of establishing a solid marriage relationship. Go open your Bibles to Genesis 24. We have a little story here. It's a very familiar story. A story about Abraham. Now, some of you are here tonight that you're older and your nest is empty And you may feel like you really don't have a lot of influence on this subject. And I would beg to differ in that, because here in Genesis 24, it says, "And Abraham was old and was well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things." So here you have an old man. Now, I know he had a son living at home. I'm not sure how old his son was, but his son wasn't married. I didn't check into that. But his son wasn't married, but he was an old man, and he had a vision, and he had a burden, and he cared about who his son married. So I just want to, I think about grandparents and so on. I mean, I want to plant that vision in your heart that you care about who your grandchildren may marry and so on. Abraham was old and well stricken in years. And I think I'm just going to take the time to read some of this. Verse 2, "And Abraham said unto his elder servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac." And the servant said unto him, "Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest?" And the servant had a little bit of fear there. He's concerned. He says, "What if this doesn't work out?" So here I'm swearing, which they did back in those days. And he swore to follow through Abraham's commitment. And he said, "What happens if this doesn't work out?" And Abraham said unto him, "Beware that thou bring not my son hither again. And the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that swear unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land, and he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath, and only bring not my son hither again." The servants put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swear to him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels and so on. I'll drop down down to verse 14. Actually, I'll go to 12. "And he said, O Lord God, my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day. Show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of men of the city come out and draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master." So you just have that little story, and you see the burden of Abraham. And I asked you tonight, where did Abraham get his convictions? I mean, you know the story of Abraham. So how did Abraham have these convictions? He was a man of conviction. He was senior in years. He could have said, "Well, you know what? I'm tired. I'm old. And you know what? Does God's commandments, I mean, do they actually last that long? I mean, maybe God's commandments expired. Maybe we can kind of just, to go to a foreign country, it's a long journey. It's a lot of work to do this." Abraham was under test. His servant wondered. He said, "So what should I do?" And Abraham said, "There's no compromise. I'm not changing. I'm not giving in. But I want you to know that if it doesn't work out, I'm not going to hold it against you." That's the conviction that Abraham had. And I think Abraham's servant was a man of conviction. You see that prayer that he asked God to direct him, and he had the conviction. And Abraham had faith in God. You see that in verse 7. You just see the burden that was carried here. And then what really blessed me, and as I read through this chapter, it says in verse 33, "And there was set meat before him," the servant, he says, to eat. But he said, "I will not eat until I have told my errand." And he said, "Speak on." And the servant was willing to deny himself of the pleasure of eating until he could share his burden, his vision, and his goal, and what the mission was. That blessed my heart. Sometimes we we would rather have pleasure than to tend to actually do the sacrifice and having that vision. So, you know, in a nutshell, you look at Abraham, he's a man of conviction. He knew where he stood. So I asked you the question, how did Abraham have conviction? Abraham wasn't perfect. Abraham was a man like we are. He was flesh and blood. He had problems. He had struggles. But he built altars. He was a man of worship. You know, we can look at a lot of different things and aspects of how parents should be involved in courtship. And there's a lot of different things. We're going to talk about some of those things tonight. But I'm not going to near cover everything. But you need to be a father and a mother of convictions, and you need to build altars in worship. And many times when Abraham built our altars, there's a few times that is because he had made a wrong choice and he needed to renew his commitment to God. And he would build an altar and he'd have prayer, and there was I call them altars of surrender. And we need to have those in our experience. You can read all the books you want about how to have good courtships and how to do this right. And there's all kinds of stuff out there. And I'm not saying you shouldn't read them. That's all right. But unless you have a vision, you forget all those things. It's hard to get into practice. You need that vision. And Abraham had a vision. He really did. And it was tested. He built altars. He made his wrongs right as he lived. Like I said, he made some mistakes, but he made them right as he lived. We make some mistakes as fathers and mothers. We don't always get it right. But we need to make them right as we live and stay up to date with God. Go to Psalm 25. I have basically 3 points that I want to look at here tonight with a few subpoints under these points. The first point I have is parents preparing themselves for a child's courtship. Number two, parents preparing child for courtship. And then number three, practical ways parents are actually involved in a child's courtship. So Psalm 25, that's a familiar psalm, but I would just like to read a few verses here. It says, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant." I will stop there. Just a lot of things that we can look at. But I have the first point here, parents preparing themselves for child's courtship. And I brought it out here with Abraham is worship God. You have this in this chapter here, putting your trust and faith in God. Show me thy ways, O Lord, and having no other gods before me. I think the enemy that we have of being actively involved in our children's lives is our busy lifestyle and the work that we have and the responsibilities and the demands of life. I think I'll just tell you this. I shared this on Sunday at Sotar, and I'm just going to share it now. I came across this in the Olympics. They have what they call a relay race, and they have a baton that they pass on to the next person. You know what a relay race is? Children know what that is. And so what they do is they have lanes at these races, and every country has a different team. And so they have, I don't know how many are in their team, the same amount in each country, and they run down these lanes. And as they run full speed, and they have the baton and they hold it in their hand, and they, as they run full speed, they come to an area where they hand that over to the person running beside them. And they dare not get out of their lane, and then they keep going. If they drop the baton, they're out, they lose the race. It's over. If they run beyond the certain period of that they have to pass it on, they're out of the race. And if the last team member crosses the finish line without the baton, they lost the race. So the moral of the story is that they need to run at full speed, passing on the baton to the next runner if they're going to win. And I told the congregation, I said, that's how life is. Sometimes we're tempted that somehow we're gonna get involved in our children's lives, or we're gonna get involved in the things that pertain to courtship and so on, once life slows down. And I want to tell you something, life isn't slowing down. Hasn't for me yet. And I don't think it's gonna happen for you. Now, I know sometimes there's things happen in life, maybe handicaps or sickness and so on, that life slows down. But as a whole, you know, if you're waiting to get involved in your children's lives until its life slows down, you're gonna miss it. The same as those people, they wanna pass on the baton to the next player, they gotta do it at full speed. And you need to raise your family at full speed. You can't just slow down. And that means getting involved in church life. That means going to prayer meetings when you don't, you just like to rest. You know, just remember that you're trying to pass on that baton. And that has to do with worship, has to do with our priorities, has to do with taking time to read the Bible, has to take the time to read maybe a good book, and also hearing the voice of God speak to you. I believe the Holy Spirit, you know, we believe as Christians that we become Christians, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us. What is that? Read the Bible. It tells you what it is. He says, I will guide you into all truth. Sometimes we're so busy, and life is so noisy that we don't hear the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about, and you say, well, how does this have to do with courtship? Well, it has everything to do with courtship. Because these little children here, if you wait to get involved with them until they're 18 and 19 and 20 and 21 years old, and suddenly you care about what their relationships are, you miss it. So when I look at those children that came up here, I know that there's parents sitting here that are very busy. And you're running in the fast lane, you're trying to win the race. But you got to pass on that baton. Well, the next point I have is be as parents, build convictions. You know what you believe. Know where you stand with Bible principles. Don't just follow, don't just look around and say, well, other people are doing it. You know what, I guess, you know, it seems to be working out for them. Well, maybe it is and maybe it isn't. Know what you stand on, what you believe on, what you build your life on. Abraham, he knew what he believed. He wasn't going by the status quo. He wasn't going by his neighbors in Canaan, where he was living. He was going by a conviction that God had given him a mandate. You know, what is your convictions on courtship? You know, sometimes parents struggle with, you know, maybe your courtship maybe wasn't quite what it should have been. And maybe you struggle with trying to raise a higher standard for your children. And I want to encourage you, don't make any apologies. Just because maybe you didn't get it right doesn't mean that you got to pass that on. You can change that. And I just wrote down that we as parents, we dare not have skeletons in the closet. And if you have a skeleton in the closet, it's going to hinder you from being able to have a vision for your family, for your children to raise the bar. Or they're going to have skeletons in the closet. And that's not God's will this morning. That's not God's desire or this evening. God wants us to be real. And I think Abraham, as he had this vision when he was an old man, he didn't have any skeletons in the closet because he was a man of worship and he built altars and he made things right as he lived. Know where you stand on a pure courtship. A clear conscience is powerful. It's energizing. There's freedom. And there's ways to have a clear conscience. Sometimes it's husbands and wives just being honest with themselves and sharing and pouring their hearts out and praying. Sometimes you need to share with some other people, maybe your minister, your pastor, or somebody, and you need to pray together. And sometimes some things need to come before the church. But I want to tell you something tonight. A clear conscience is powerful. And it helps you build convictions for the little ones. You need that. You need that. No skeletons in the closet. A pure, clear conscience. Very powerful. The next point I have under parents preparing themselves for child's courtship is transparency in their own marriage relationship. Children know. Oh my. Children know if dad's not being a man of integrity. Children know if he has trouble with flirting with women. Children know if you're struggling with purity and so on. There's a sense that they can sense it. And I just want to encourage you, if you want to be involved in your child's courtship, have a marriage relationship where you're transparent and you're real. And don't pretend to be something that you're not. If you're struggling with something, be honest with it. Don't cover it up with some plain clothing or some whatever you want to call it. Be honest and be real. Because your children are going to figure it out anyway. You know, we have problems. We struggle. We struggle with life. Both sides of the house, we struggle with it, with dealing with life at times. Sometimes we don't get it right. Sometimes we need to humble our hearts and say we're sorry and make things right. And children, when children live in that kind of atmosphere, they discover that they can be honest. And they can be real. We're talking about building relationships with our children so that when they're teenagers and they're at the courtship age, that you can have a relationship that you really want to have. It starts. Transparency in marriage relationships. It takes a lot of work. It's not always easy, but it's worth it. It is. Okay, the next point I have, parents preparing child for courtship. That first point was us as parents preparing ourselves. Now the next point is parents preparing child for courtship. And that is, and I stressed it before, relationship with child at a very young age. Be their parent. And be a friend to them. You know, I've heard it already that you shouldn't be a friend to your child. I don't know. I disagree with that. I think you should be a parent and a friend. That you can be, they have a relationship and that you enjoy being with them and they can enjoy having them with you when you go away and be together and have a friendship. And then answer child's questions honestly. You know, children grow up and they start asking questions about life. And let's just be honest with them. Honest with wisdom. Sometimes they ask questions that maybe they're not mature enough to have the answer that they will get as they get older. That's all right. Sometimes it's all right just to tell a child, you know, you're not quite old enough. And explain that, and most times they'll accept that. Teach children honest answers. I just wrote down: take child with you in life. Don't have a separate thing. Take your children with you in life. Do life together. Look for opportunities, fathers, to take your children with you, mothers, and so on. It's not a bother. It's not a bother to take your children. It's a lot of work sometimes. But but you take them along and do life together. A very important. I have a book here, and you probably all saw this. And this has to do with just being honest with your children. God's will for my body. It's a good book. I recommend it if you don't have it. It's not a book to give you your children. It's a book for you to sit down and go through it with them and talk to them about things of life that someday they're going to figure it out anyway. God made it that way. Just how it is. The devil wants to mess it all up, but God gave us some direction, and we have wise people that help us and have some good books that you can follow and help us as parents. It's wonderful to invest in that kind of relationship with your children as they grow up and as they go through the changes of life. So I want to talk a little bit about boyfriend, girlfriends in school age. And I want to encourage you as parents and school teachers not to overreact to those struggles that these children have. And I want you to follow through with me with this, because I tried to take the approach that I was grateful that there were attractions, because that's actually what you want. It's actually what God created, attraction between male and female. And so sometimes growing up, I've heard of situations where you have a child that a young age, there's attraction, and they get pushed down and destroyed and made to feel that they're bad or that it's dirty or that there's something wrong with them for having that attraction. And I'm like, no, there's nothing wrong with you. This is normal. This is the way God made it. It's just that you're not old enough. It's just that you're not mature enough, and we need to help you and guide you through this. Another thing that, as parents, I want to encourage you with, when you discover that that's going on, sit down and talk to your child. Don't trash them. But it's a good way to find out where their hearts are, what kind of attractions they have. I remember sitting down with one of our children, and that was the case. There was an attraction. And so, you know, I asked him, I said, so what are you attracted? Why are you attracted? What are the characteristics or the things about this person that you like? It was a way for me to learn what was all going on in this person's mind. And it was good. I learned something through that experience. But you know, as we worked through it, we gave guidance. We said, you're not gonna be allowed to pursue this relationship. There's a lot of no's that go along with that. But don't destroy the person, don't destroy the children, and help them and guide them to maturity. And I do not approve of it. I don't want you to get the idea that I think it's all right to have these crushes in school. But there's a way to work through it that child can work through it. But you need your child's heart when you're there. If you didn't have your child's heart and they're 13, 14, 15, and they suddenly you discover this is going on and they don't respect you and honor you, you got trouble. You need the heart before that. Does that make sense at all? But those attractions will happen. If it happened when I was a boy, it's been happening ever since. But how we deal with it can help create an atmosphere that those children grow up and find a proper way of pursuing those types of relationships. The next point I have is, as you live with your children, help them develop a spirit of accepting life as it unfolds, because the fact of it is not everybody gets married. And for some people, that's difficult. People, it's hard. And it's a hard journey to understand all that and to work through that. And I think we as parents play a big role in that, that we're all right with accepting the fact that if our sons or daughters don't get married, and that we help the child learn to accept that God has a purpose for them, and that marriage isn't always the ultimate purpose. God has a work and helping that child accept that. And I think it's important because I've seen it already where particularly maybe girls struggle with accepting that, and then they begin to feel like they need to help God. And somehow they want to help, and usually that's tempted to use physical attractions to try and help God out. And that's scary. That's a warnings. Just let God do the work. And I've heard stories of where people finally worked through it and surrendered and just gave it up and said, okay, God, we're gonna bloom where you have planted us, and we're gonna accept this and how God directed them and opened doors for their life and how blessed it was. And so I think we as parents have an integral role in helping our children find their way with that. And may God bless you if you're in that kind of situation in your life. Another point I have here is that help your child not to set a standard that most people cannot attain to. And I just wrote down, sometimes we get the standard so high, and this maybe affect more with our sisters, and they have this idea that there's some Prince Charming out there that somehow that this man's gonna flip them and they're gonna fall in love and everything's gonna be great and peachy for going forward. And it isn't that way. Sometimes courtships and marriage relationships develop and slowly. And sometimes it's not this Prince Charming or somebody that just. Sometimes it's just giving a young man an opportunity. And that courtship grows and there's a relationship of trust built, and soon those two people give their hearts to each other, and it's beautiful. And we as parents have a lot to do with that as we guide our teenagers and our children with that. Now I did tell our daughters that when they walk down the aisle, they need to be 100% convinced, all in, no doubts. But in the courtship, it wasn't always that way. They needed to develop and grow and find their way. But when they go down the aisle, it's 100%. And they need to be thinking that there's nobody better. Well, then the last point I have, practical ways parents are actually involved in courtship of their child. When a child seeks parental input, take interest. You know, a young man wants to talk to you about a girl that he's maybe been observing. Sit down, take time and talk about it. Talk about what's going on. Take an interest. It's a blessing for our young people to come to us and say, let's talk about these types of things. I just assume that most of our courtships only get developed after parents have been talking. I assume that. I don't know. Could it be that there's young men coming home telling their parents, hey, you know what, I had a date last night with a girl, and you're like, oh, who, really? Maybe that happens. That used to happen. I think our culture has just shifted that. So take an interest. And it should be, you know, our desire is that there be a spontaneous desire in a child to really want you involved. A son or daughter should desire parental involvement and honest evaluation. Um, You know, I think it's wonderful if a daughter particularly asks her father what his evaluation of this young man has interest in them. And having that trust built between father and daughter, and that she feels protected, you know, and that goes before this whole thing of protecting your daughters is huge. It grieves my heart when I discover our father doesn't protect their daughter. And that there's a violation of integrity and so on. And I'm like, how in the world is he gonna ever help his daughter have a good marriage relationship with a good man? Listen, men, we need to protect our daughters, that our daughters come to us and say, I want to know what you think of this man. What's your evaluation? Should I court him? What do you think? Because they trust us. But if they don't trust you, they're not going to do that. And your daughters, like I said earlier, will know. So they'll know where you're at in building trust and so on, and what type of father you are. They have a way of figuring that out. So having a practical way, well, the first point, the practical way for this to start out is daughters and sons talking to their parents about their interests, what's happening, what kind of interest there is, and so on. And there's times fathers may, you know, two of our daughters, I didn't know the young men. I really didn't. Had no relationship. And so our daughters wanted me to know. They wanted us to do some learning to know. So we had some meetings. And we did that with our young men that dated our daughters. We met and we had some good discussions and before the courtships actually materialized. But the daughters desire that. And we're talking about some practical things. If a young man wants to date your daughter, fathers, there's nothing wrong with you. Said, we're going to go out for breakfast sometime, or we're going to go out for lunch or supper, whatever works out, and sit down and we're going to talk. You need to know what comes down the walk and opens the door and sits in the living room with your daughter. We care about everything else in life. I care what kind of employees I have, if I can trust them at the cash register. Why wouldn't I do the same thing for my daughter coming in down the house and sitting in the living room in the sofa? Don't be embarrassed to do that. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just part of wisdom. Just moving on here a little bit quickly. Talk about your child with your children about, you know, if there's a courtship going to materialize, talk about courtship standards. Actually, those things should be discussed before the courtships are. We had those types of discussions in life through the years and as they grew older, but you know, and I think it's a part of wisdom to tell your children, hey, you talk about courtship standards, you talk about it, and you share with us what they are. And we'll see if they actually meet our standards. They meet what we have taught you. And be actively involved with those courtships and the standards and so on. What they talk about and what they want. And I preach and teach, hands off, no physical contact, all that kind of thing. Help them focus on character and a shared vision. Listen, courtship is a time for you to discover if you actually are compatible. Because not everybody just fits together for a lifetime. Let's just be honest. Doesn't make somebody good or bad. It's just how it is. Now, don't get the idea that you're in a relationship that you ain't compatible, because make it work. But you need to figure out in courtship if you're compatible. And I'm going to tell you something. That's a hard thing to figure out if you're going to go down and become sensual in that relationship. That's going to cloud and blur everything out. And you're going to think that you love each other and everything's going to be hunky-dory. And I'm going to tell you something, it's going to take a long time, not very long at all, till you discover that not everything is as good as you thought it's going to be. Your best thing you can do is keep your hands off each other, keep the physical contact. And I'm not saying that everybody that maybe holds hands or something is that they're just sinners. But I just like to draw the line where it's safe, that you don't have to be trying to figure out where to stop and where to start. Focus on character, focus on relationship, focus on compatibility and a relationship with God. As parents, you want to help your children walk down the aisle in purity. You're giving them a gift that they will thank you for the rest of their life. And we as parents are an integral part of trying to help our children maintain purity in courtship. I think there's a proper way of talking about it through the courtship, ask them how it's going, and then acknowledging that we know that it's hard. Sometimes there's times parents need to pull back a little bit, and they'll admit that they're struggling, and you gotta pull them back a little bit and say, hey, you gotta pull this back. We're gonna be like Abraham. We're not gonna compromise. We got these convictions, and this is where the line is, and we're gonna pull you back. No, we're holding the line. You're giving them a gift. And we as parents have that. And I want you to know that it's not that they're being bad for having those desires. It's something that God gave them. And they're trying to find their way, and it's a natural thing. But there's a line that the scripture gives us, and we try and hold them to that. And later on, they'll be extremely blessed. We're trying to help our young people develop a foundation. You know, you think of a foundation in a building. This building has a foundation, and this building. How old is this building? It's been built when?
60s.
When?
Mid 60s.
1960. So it's been here for a long time. I don't see the walls all cracked up and the ceiling. Why? Because there's a foundation. And you can build that foundation in your courtship to last a lifetime, a marriage relationship. Okay. Number 7 under this point, parents sacrificing personal time and space in interest of the couple's courtship. That was very enjoyable. There's many times that we just were with them and shared time together. Boyfriends would come to the house and we'd have time together, meals together, play games together, sit around and visit, do stuff together. It was a sacrifice. There's times that we didn't go away because there was a courtship going on, and we just stayed home and were with them and be actively involved. It's a season of life that parents, that we need to sacrifice some time to help our children develop a marriage relationship. Be actively involved. You know, I look at the difference of when I grew up. You know, it's just one generation. The difference of our involvement in courtship versus my parents involved in our courtship. It was a change. I'm not saying negative things about my parents or whatever, but there was a shift that we were more actively involved in our courtships, and it was a blessing in our home. It was wonderful. We enjoyed it, and I just want to encourage you to do that. Be actively involved with them, and take time for them, and do the best you can in sacrificing. And then I have my last point here. A mature couple will desire parental input in wedding plans. Be active, involved. Sometimes I feel like we just feel like that's the bishop's job, and they kind of try and hold the lines and hold things in place, and they have a lot of hard work. And then, you know what, we as parents, if we just kind of do our part, the mother's actively involved with the daughter, and they know where the lines are, and we're not here to push the lines. We're here to have a blessed wedding that everybody can enjoy. And we as parents have a lot of responsibility in that. Why should it be only the preachers and the bishops doing that? We can help with that as parents. We know what the church wants. We know what the vision is. Let's all work together at that. And God will bless you for it. Godly weddings emphasize the lordship of Christ. We don't glory in the bride. We glory in Christ. And yes, it is a wonderful time. I think weddings are wonderful. I enjoy going to weddings. Sometimes if there's too many in a row, I miss my Saturdays. But overall, it's a blessing. So I don't know if this makes sense to you tonight or not, being involved in parental involvement in courtship. You know, I know Steve Eversole's preaching this sermon, and I, in purpose, didn't listen to his because I thought it would probably just blow me, trash my notes, and I don't know, it just messed me all up. So I decided to do Darvin Weaver tonight. So hopefully that's all right with you. But I want to tell you something, church family here, young families, and that is, you know, you can look at this thing and look like it's complicated. And how do you get this right? And how do you help your children develop a godly marriage and so on? And I want to tell you something. It just starts with a Bible vision for yourself. That you love God. And you have a vision. You have a vision for your family. This isn't just going to happen. The school isn't going to do it for you. And the preachers ain't going to get it done. It's your responsibility. If you wanted to bring these children into this world, then take responsibility for them and raise them for God.